Now, my regular Sabbath, when I'm up in Hollister, I get up at 5 in the morning, and then I drive up to Fairfield. Then we have services up there, 9:30 to 11:30. Then I drive back to Hollister, and my timing is within 2 minutes of 10 to 3. And so Dolores has soft-boiled eggs already done for me. Now, if I'm a little early, they're soft. If I'm a little late, they're hard. And then I eat that and then go down to services. And we meet in 206A. Now, that's one of our office suites. We have two suites, 206A, 206B, and so forth. Okay? And we start at 2:30 or thereabouts. Okay? So I'll be thinking on it because Harry told me about it, and Albert was the first one to remind me. So, Dan, I got an email from Siberia. Now, we have a member back there in Siberia. His name is Bowles, B-O-W-L-E-S. And he married a Russian wife, and they moved back to Siberia because he got a job as an English teacher. So he sent me an email and said, Fred, you got to get up to date. You got to get Skypey. So I answered him and said, oh, what am I going to do? There are 24 one-hour time zones in the world. See? So how am I going to do it? Well, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do. Okay. Now, there is another suite about this big. This looks like about 1,100 square feet, 1,200 square feet. So there is another suite right up on the floor that just recently was vacated. And it's 1,100 square feet. We can get it for $1 a foot. So we're going to get it. Now, the reason being is that where we meet, the little room we meet in for Sabbath services, if we get two more people, we're out of there, and Curly's can verify that. Okay. Yes, okay. No hanging from the ceiling. It's not strong enough. So we're going to make that a meeting room, and we could also have a little office in there. But we figured this. For $1,100 a month, and I got the first 2 months free because we're going to have to put in a little kitchenette there and carpet and new lights so it's bright enough and everything. So we need to get that set up. I didn't want to be greedy and ask for any more than 2 months, but they willingly gave 2 months, so that's $2,200. So we'll start there May 1st, which then will be, what, Tuesday? I think, anyway, May 1st, and then we don't have to pay any rent until July, for the month of July. Okay. But we're going to make that into a meeting room. What I'm going to do is have just a little riser about this high, and we'll have a good background, we'll have good lighting, and if we use that for Sabbath services, because if two more people come, we're going to have to rent something, which will probably cost us $100, $125 each time. I think you pay $195 here, don't you?
$205.
Huh?
$205.
$205. Missed it by $10.
$190 plus tax.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'd have to pay at least a minimum $100, $125 a week. So then that would be $500 a month. Now, we can also keep the Holy Days and the Feast of Tabernacles there, and that will pay for 10 months' rent, all combined. See? So that means that for the year, the additional cost to us will be $2,200 as far as dollars outgoing. Now, I'm going to decimate, according to Harry's instructions, the attendance for Day 49 and Pentecost here. We have the Hilton Garden Inn in Gilroy, and we have services at 2 p.m. in the afternoon on both days. Now, we will have a meeting there both days, and we'll have a meal after each meeting. So, and we have a special rate on the room. And I think this is about the last time we can get it. $59 at the Hilton Garden Inn. Okay? So, if that's the case, we would love to have you up there. That's not to neglect those of you who would come here. Okay. But if you're going to come up, let us know so I can inform the hotel, because I only have a block of 7 rooms. Okay. So anyway, things are moving along, progressing real well. Pat asked me about church at home. And in the next letter that you receive, I'll put in there some church at home comments. But I just need to mention concerning church at home, the way that the world is going and the development of church at home with the way it's going. And if we do hit $9 a gallon, guess where church is going to be held most of the time? At home. Okay. Fred, Skype, remember. Okay. Now, we have done 262 church at home segments. We have 241 or 2 online. And so I'm right now in a series going through the Passover and Holy Days. Okay, I decided to do it during the summer. I didn't want to do Passover before Passover and then have a lot of people who are used to taking communion say, oh, I want to take Passover. See, so I want to have the material there, and I want to have it so that they will remember that they must be in covenant baptism with God. Okay, that's an important thing. Then I'm going through all of the holy days of God, and we'll be offering the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. Now, I've done about, 4 sermons on my trip, 5 sermons on the appointed times, so you'll be getting 1 or 2 of these. But just to suffice for the cover, since you just got it, and remember the letter I sent about the Passover and day number 4? Okay, and had that little chart in the back there. You remember, did you get that? Everybody get that? Okay. God set the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars in their positions on the 4th day. And Passover was selected before the foundation of the world. And notice what is on the cover. Heavens, the stars, the sun, the earth, and the moon. All 4 elements figuring the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, I need to give you just a little warning. There's going to be some heavy reading, okay? But what it really does, it really brings to the fore that no other calendar scheme can put it all together like this unless they use the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, when you read it, you'll begin to understand it. Now, before the research by Carl Franklin, and even he missed the point. He got the Jubilee year for the ministry of Christ, but he couldn't figure out, because the Jubilee year starts on Day of Atonement, how that fit into Luke 4:16, where he said he was the anointed one. Well, the day that he started had to be the Day of Atonement beginning the Jubilee year. And it had to be in the fall. The 70 weeks prophecy cannot end in the spring. Impossible. Anybody who says the 70 weeks prophecy ends in the spring, or the first 69 weeks ends in the spring and the crucifixion of Christ, that is impossible, because the 70 weeks are what are called heptads, which means they're not 7 days in an ordinary week. These are 7 years in a land sabbatical count, and the land Sabbath begins also on the Day of Atonement. So, Jesus was baptized, as I pointed out, just before. So he was anointed just before he went to the temptation with Satan the devil in Matthew, the fourth chapter. Okay? And that came right after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And the voice came from heaven for him and him alone. No one else. Then when it came to Pentecost, now Pentecost is a mini-jubilee and a spiritual jubilee. So that's why he went to Nazareth for Pentecost and gave the announcement. Now I think you'll find that very interesting. I think that is chapter 2. But then we have his birth, which we've taken from the harmony. We've updated that a little bit. We have his death and crucifixion. We've updated that a little bit. We brought out as one of the sermons that I gave about his baptism that he was, you know, burdened to be baptized with, his baptism in his own blood. Okay. Then we have the ascension and acceptance by the Father. Then he ends his ministry with 40 days appearing to his disciples. So he has 40 days before, at the beginning of his ministry. He has 40 days at the end of his ministry. Okay. Now then, we have two chapters on the appointed times of the return of Jesus the Messiah. Then we have all of the detailed historic and research and analysis by Carl Franklin in one of the appendices, because before you can know how these things come together, you have to know the kings of Persia and Media and Babylon and Assyria so that you can coordinate that with Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, Carl Franklin, he's an elder who is retired, and he does research work for us, and we're very happy that he does. He did the research on it so that now we have it very complete. Okay, and one other thing that I haven't preached on yet, but I'll do it here today. You've heard me mention Dwight Blevins. Now, Dwight Blevins, how many knew him when he worked here? Okay, he worked in the video. He has got stacks of things about the numeric sequences of days and years, 19-year time cycles, jubilee cycles, 247-year cycles, days and numbers concerning the patriarchs, days and numbers concerning all the holy days, and also coordinated with the diatonic scale because he's a harp maker. Now, remember how we have said from the book of Genesis concerning the calculated Hebrew calendar, that from the book of Genesis, what can we determine from the evidence given there as to the layout of the calendar? Now, you've heard me mention this before. 30 days in a month, 12 months in a year, 360 days in a year. Okay? Now, today, that's all out of whack. So, in the book, you will see that because of the sign of the Son of Man, appearing as the second sun, and the heavens and earth have been shaken, that no one, even though we know the day, even though we know the day Pentecost, because everything has been altered, we don't know exactly when that day is going to occur. Okay? Let's just look at two things here concerning that, and then we'll go forward here. Let's come to Matthew 24. We've covered this, but we'll just read it into the record here. Okay? All right, here we are, Matthew 24 and verse 24. Not 24, 33. 33. Now, I've given several sermons on this, so I'm not going to expound it. Verse 33, Matthew 24. In like manner also, when you see all, you might want to circle all these things, not some of them, not part of them, and they did not all occur in 70 AD. There was no abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And after the temple was destroyed, Christ did not return. Okay? So, all of these things you have to see. Know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say to you, this generation, now there are two meanings to it. The generation that saw the destruction of the temple in 70 AD can be one meaning. But the primary meaning is this generation, when you see all these things take place, not this generation leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem, see? The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. All right, we understand that. That's true. Let's come here to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and let's see what Paul writes, which is not a contradiction. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And remember that Paul was the one who wrote about the man of sin, the son of perdition, that's going to stand in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. Okay? Now, notice what he says here, verse 1. Now, chapter 4 talks about what? The resurrection, does it not? Yes, the trumpet will sound, the resurrection take place. Okay. Now then, concerning the times and the seasons, concerning what? The return of Christ and the resurrection. Brethren, there is no need that I write to you, for you yourselves understand perfectly that the day of the Lord will come exactly as a thief by night. For when they shall say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail comes upon a woman who is with child, and they shall by no means escape. All right. How then are we going to know the times and the seasons, but not know the day or the hour? Because just before, since we're pretty close to Revelation, let's go to Revelation 6. Okay. Just before the sixth seal, or introducing the sixth seal, right there in verse 12, when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heavens rolled back like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. When that happens, now that fulfills a prophecy in Isaiah 2 and Haggai 2 that he's going to shake the heavens and shake the earth. What's going to happen to time? In addition to the sign of the Son of Man appearing as the second sun, what is going to happen? You won't be able to distinguish the true day, because also a third of the sun won't shine, and a third of the moon won't shine, a third of the stars won't shine. So everything's going to be confused. Now, that's how I presented it. But then, after the book was published, thank you, Dwight, he wrote and said, what if, based upon, I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, Alpha and Omega, what if, when the heavens roll back as a scroll, everything is shifted back to a 360-day sequence? Now then, truly, even though you know Pentecost pictures the resurrection, even though you know Pentecost pictures the sealing of the 144,000, you do not know the day or the hour. Okay? So that puts it into another entirely different perspective, doesn't it? Now, just one other little thing. Come back here to Genesis, the first chapter, and I'll have to have Michael Heiss check this out for us. Matter of fact, when I come down next week, I think I'll ask him if he can cover this for us. Okay. Now, I don't remember exactly between which words it is, but here, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Now, there are two Hebrew letters there. I think it's right after God and before created. Don't hold me to that because I don't remember right now, but I remember this. What are those two letters? Alpha and Tau. First letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that ties right in with Revelation 1, right? So you see, brethren, how the Word of God just keeps revealing, just keeps giving. See, because God is the one who's inspired it. And so those two things are some really additional considerations. So when you get to that section in reading the book, that'll give you a little more something to wrap your mind around, okay? But you're really going to like this book. And before I finish this segment here, want to mention we have a brand new booklet by Phil Neal. It's going to be about 40-some pages on clean and unclean meats. Now, you see, we've spent so many years helping all of those who have come out of the various churches of God. That we had it in the beliefs booklet about clean and unclean meats, but we never had a separate booklet explaining clean and unclean meats, so we will. We have another booklet written by Duncan MacLeod, which is God or No God. And so that's going to be aimed toward the atheists, okay? And Cindy's working on a good cover for that, and Randy's working on a good cover for the clean and unclean meats. Okay. So, there we are. Now, since I've taken about a half hour, let's go ahead and take a short, quick break, and then we'll come back, and I have some things that we need to cover that we need to discuss.